You know, everything I needed to know in life, I learned from Noah's Ark. If you recall, if you were to go back and think about your own life, probably one of the earliest lessons that you were ever taught was the story of Noah and the Ark. And it is amazing the things we learn. First of all, there are a number of things. One of them is don't miss the boat. You know, God had told Noah what was going to happen, that the wickedness of man was so great on the earth that he was going to bring a flood and actually annihilate all human flesh except those that God had chosen to be in the ark and to be saved for the human race's sake. And the Bible tells us that he began to build the ark. And, you know, a lot of people scoffed at him. They laughed when Noah began to talk about building a big boat. And, you know, there was a pilot one time who announced to his passengers over the intercom system, he says, "I want all of you to know that I have some good news and bad news." He said, "The good news is," he says, "is that we have a great tailwind and we are making excellent time." He said, "The bad news is that the compass has gone out and we have no idea where we are going." Now, you know, Noah and maybe even those on the ark may have felt that way as well. Could have been. But the message of Noah is don't miss the boat. You know, when I think of the boat, I think of the church. Because someone has appropriately said that the church is the ark of safety. God wants you in the church. He does. He died for you individually, but he also died for the church. And according to Ephesians chapter 5, he is coming back to rescue the church of the living God. And so I hope this morning that as we think about these things concerning Noah's ark, that you'll digest them, and that they will become much more meaningful to you as we study this morning. In the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, God said that my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. I want you to focus onto that one little statement that my spirit shall not always strive with man. In other words, God is going to do something. He's going to do it big. God does things in a grandiose fashion. He does. Now, he said, my spirit is not always going to strive with mankind. And the message of Noah was get right with God. He preached for over 100 years trying to get people to honor God, to love God, to get right with him. And even in the time when the beautiful boat was preparing and the ark was being made manifest, they could have gotten on the boat, but they didn't. And the rain began to fall. You know, that's one of the things that we also ought to remember, isn't it? Get on the boat. Get in the church. But secondly, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Sometimes people wait until it's too late. And we were talking about that in our Bible class this morning. That people wait until it's too late. Until it starts raining. And they waited and they waited. And they drowned. And they lost their life because they failed to get on the boat. And because they failed to plan ahead. Noah had been preaching. He had been warning them and telling them that the great flood is going to come. It is going to happen. Just like preachers today warn people about the coming wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. You and I had better get ready because God is coming again. Jesus is coming, Revelation 1, verse 8 and following. And if he is coming again, according to the book of John, the 14th chapter, verse 1 and following there, then we need to be ready. Don't wait until it's too late. Start preparing even now. That's why I tell young people that you need to start making your life right with God now while you have time and while you have opportunity. God even was so specific in telling Noah how to build that ark. He said, I want you to build it out of gopher wood. We don't know specifically what gopher wood is today. There are certain woods that are likened to it, or lumber. But he even told him, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and they shall pitch it, he says, within and without with pitch. In other words, God told him the mortar to use. He was so specific in giving Noah a blueprint for this great big boat. I don't know how many of you have been up into the state of Kentucky to see the replica of Noah's ark, but it is there. You could go and take a look at it if you like. But when God told Noah what to do, thus did Noah, the Bible says, according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. You know, there are a lot of people today that say, well, I know the church is important, and I know it's important to be a member of the church, but they never come. They never give to the church. They never talk the church up. They always talk the church down. Sometimes people say bad things about the church and about those who preach it, who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But look at the difference in the response. Thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him. And he has commanded us, in order to get into the church of the living God, that one must repent of his sins, change his life, believe in God, believe in Jesus, and make him Lord, and confess your faith in him, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. But then thirdly, there's another thing that we need to do, and that is stay fit. Stay fit physically. You know, when you think about the age of Noah, when God called upon this old man to build this huge, magnanimous boat or ark, he didn't hesitate. He was ready for the occasion. And God knew what he was doing when he called on Noah to do it. And I have observed that someday, no matter how old you are here this morning, someday God may call upon you to do something really big. That's why it's important for you to be ready and to be quick. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 that when Jesus walked along the seashore, that he actually called out to the disciples to follow him. He knew they would follow. And the Bible says immediately they forsook their nets and they followed him. But why is it when people talk about the church today and people talk about the fact that Christ is coming again to bring the church home into heaven, why is it that people wait? We hesitate, as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning. Noah was an old man, but he was ready for the challenge. And you know what? Every one of us ought to be ready for the challenge, and he was. But there's a fourth thing. I told you that I had learned about Noah's Ark, and really, I guess everything I've really learned in life goes back to that. Don't listen to the critics. Can you imagine what was going on? And the hearsay that was going on and the gossip that was going on actually between the people out in the world who were listening to Noah and what was going on there with Noah and his family. If there is a message from Noah's Ark, it is this one. Don't listen to the critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. There will always be people that will want to criticize you. Preach the word, I tell young preachers. Preach the gospel. Don't be afraid to declare truth. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that the earth was corrupt before God. and the earth was filled with violence. It almost sounds like today, doesn't it? I suppose that's why people say, well, is Jesus getting ready to come again? The world is so corrupt. It is so bad. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. And it is. Not uncommon to hear about violent acts in today's world, drive-by shootings, break-ins, people just murdering you on the street, sending your kids to school. They may be killed at school. You know, even if the world doesn't believe in you, God said unto Noah, you keep preaching it. You keep preaching repentance, because there will always be the critics. And you know, the ones that wanted to get on the boat or on the ark were the very ones who criticized Noah for building it. If there's another lesson we ought to learn, it is this: to build your future on high ground. Build your future on high ground. You know, sometimes we get so trapped in the things of this world and the way the world lives that we don't have time for the things that are of real importance in life. My future is built upon high ground. Have you ever stopped to think about all the wonderful things that God did on mountains? The Bible tells us that after that great flood, that the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. And that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? God even allowed his own son to die for the very church that we've been talking about here this morning on a mountain. And it was called Mount Calvary. Jesus gave his famous Sermon on the Mount on a mountain. We know that Abraham took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to offer him, because he was building on the future. We often sing that song, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. You know, when Noah built that ark, it's amazing how God told him what wood to use and what pitch to use, but he also gave him the dynamics of the ark. 515 by 85.8 times 51.5 feet. He did not deviate from it. God knew what he was doing. Sometimes people think God just doesn't know what you're doing and we have to tell God what to do. No, God knows precisely what he is doing and how he is going to do something. He's going to burst the clouds of heaven one of these days, and he is coming to receive the church, those that are in the ark of safety. One thing I learned, I know it's a little bit unusual, and that is, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Isn't it interesting that God had unclean animals, and the clean animals go into that ark? By the specifications of how many God said. And he didn't change from that. You know, God welcomes sinners into the family of God who are willing to repent of their sins and those who are willing to be baptized for the same. One of the great blessings is that travel in pairs. You know, the Bible teaches that one lesson over and over again. And that's exactly what happened with Noah. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 10 says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. How many of you have seen those commercials on television where this lady has fallen and she's trying to call and say, help, I've fallen, I need help, I need help. Well, that's exactly what Ecclesiastes 4 is talking about. We all need each other. That's what the church is about. He didn't place Noah on the ark by himself, but he placed Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives according to what God actually taught and what God says. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. That's what we do in the family of God. That's why it's important to be in the church. You know what? I've never understood how people live without the church. Isn't it amazing to you how many people in our world live without the church? But you know what? You can't live without the church. Not spiritually. You can't. No more than they could live spiritually without being in the ark, as God taught them to do. When I think of the church, I'm reminded of passages that speak to encourage us in the church. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to fulfill the law of Christ? Listen to what he says, bear their burdens. And you can't bear their burdens if you don't know their burdens. You can't bear their burdens unless you are aware of the struggle that they're facing within the church. But there's another lesson you need to learn about Noah and the ark. Speed isn't always an advantage. You know, sometimes people think speed is the most important thing in all of the world. But that's not the case, not really. Snails were on board with the cheetahs when you stop and really think about it. But when I think about Noah and the flood, there are a number of things that come to my mind. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 2, the Bible says, you shall take with you every clean animal by sevens. Now get this picture. For most of the time, when you see Noah's ark being depicted, it always shows two animals going in, doesn't it? Well, now that's not really what it says exclusively. Listen to it. You shall take with you every clean animal by sevens, the clean animals, male and female. And you know what? Noah didn't have any trouble knowing the difference between a female and a male. He knew exactly. And of the animals that are not clean, two, male and female. Now that's what God said. But number eight, one of the things I've learned about Noah and the ark is the fact that when you're stressed, float a while. Just float. And he said unto them in Mark 6 and verse 31, Jesus speaking, he said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Do you know the human body needs rest? That's why God says that you and I are to make sure that we rest the body. God designed it. He's the one that said we need to rest. But some people never rest. For there were many that were coming and going, and they had not so much as leisure even to eat. Now think about that a minute. Are you too busy to eat? Do you ever get too busy to eat? That's too busy. Jesus rested. On one occasion, he was in the back of a boat and he was sleeping. And there was a great big storm coming. And they were so afraid. And they went back and they told Jesus to get up. We're about to drown. And Jesus went to the very front of that boat and said, peace, be still. Be still. Was it wrong for Jesus to be asleep? No. He was probably the busiest person God ever created. He was in spirit, but I'm talking about in human form and flesh. When I think about the ark, as I said, there are a number of things that come to mind. One of them, number nine, is no matter the storm, whatever it is, when you are with God, there is always a rainbow that awaits the end. We just have to be patient. You know, one of the most unusual things about the ark is that God designed it, gave all the specifications for it, told him to make it out of gopher wood. I mean, it looked like they were all set. But you know what he left out? He left out sails. He left out a steering mechanism. There was no way to guide that boat. And I guess that's the way it is with our life. God doesn't want us to be a captain of the ship. He is the captain of the ship. And you and I are passengers. Sometimes we want to be the captain. We want to figure it all out, what we want and how we want it and the way it should be, instead of thinking about how God wants it. That's why people have changed the plan of salvation. They don't like the idea of having to repent of sins and change their life and to be baptized in order to be saved. They don't like that. And so they've changed it and they said, well, we can just sprinkle water on someone's head. Or we can just accept their concept of faith. They tell you they believe in Jesus. And they're saved at that point. Not so. Not according to the Word of God. As I mentioned to you a moment ago, I baptized Mark Greer 40 years ago. And Mark, I'm still preaching the same gospel you heard then. Because the gospel has not changed. It is still true. And there is a rainbow that awaits the children of God. Isn't it a wonderful thought to know that we can be in the ark? To be invited to be in the ark. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? I mean, thousands of people who heard Noah preach are standing on the outside of that big boat and it is raining. The flood waters are rising. And they're beating on the door to get in. But they waited until it was too late. One thing I remember about the ark and its creation was the fact that the ark was built by amateurs. I don't know that Noah ever built anything in his life except that ark. Do you? Do you read about it in the Word of God? Where he built anything but the ark? I don't read it. I stand to be corrected. But the ark was built by an amateur. But he built it according to the will of God. That's the thing that I'm so impressed with. You know, when God tells us to get into the church, to the ark of safety, he tells us how to do it. He told Noah how to do it. And when to do it. And Noah didn't stand back and say, Lord, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I have never even seen it rain on the face of the earth, not even in recorded history. Don't you think you want to go back and look at your plans or your blueprint a little bit differently than you've been looking at it? No, God designed it. God designed the church the way it should be. How we're to worship, what we are to preach, what we are to do as God's children. But the Titanic, my friend, was built by professionals. You know, they said that the Titanic is so great and so big and structured so well that it could never sink. But it did. And it did. Man had placed his faith in the Titanic, but his doubts surrounded the ark. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you're not in the church of the living God, let me encourage you to do that. We're going to sing a song of invitation here. We've sung this song many, many times in this particular congregational hall. It's a song that reminds us that we too are sinking deep in sin and that Christ is the only one who can save us. He is the only one who can save you. You may be here this morning and you may be lost. You're like the ones that stood out of the ark and were beating on the ark to get in when that time came. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Surrender your life unto Christ this morning while we stand and while we sing.